Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight we will be discussing one of the major issues that has defined modern auto racing, sponsorship, or lack thereof. This week, our first guest is up-and-coming late model driver Todd Gilliland. Todd is in his first full season of stock car racing, which has already included his first late model pole and win at Ace Speedway in Altamaha, North Carolina in May. Please excuse me if I mispronounce that. It's an interesting name. Next week, he'll be taking on his grandfather, former NASCAR K&N West Series champion Butch Gilliland, as well as his father, current NASCAR Sprint Cup Series driver and recent pole sitter David Gilliland, in the Super Late Model Series race at Irwindale, California Speedway on July 19th. The 75-lap feature will be the first time that all three generations of Gilliland's have competed against each other on the same track. 56-year-old Butch Gilliland won the 1997 championship in the West Series, with son David serving as his crew chief. Butch has also competed in 10 Sprint Cup Series and 12 Camp World Truck Series races. He hasn't raced professionally since 2002. 38-year-old David is currently the driver of the number 38 Ford for Front Row Motorsports in the Sprint Cup Series. Irwindale is one of the West Coast tracks where the California native developed his racing skills, and also where he earned his first asphalt win. His infant son, Todd, just 3 weeks old, was in victory lane for the celebration. Todd is now 14 years old. The idea to have the three Gilliland's compete against each other came when the Irwindale Half Mile reopened last year after being shuttered in 2012. And operators of the Resurgent Speedway just east of Los Angeles are thrilled to host the family this coming week. The track is opening the points-paying Pick Your Part Super Late Model event to entries from all over the West Coast, knowing the drivers near and far will want to take advantage of this unique opportunity. Butch will enter the number 38, his former West Series number. David will run the number 88, number he ran the West Series days in Irwindale, and Todd will drive his number 98. The drivers will have support from Luke's Transmission, Sims Trucking, IBAC Springs, and Wong Racing. Tickets are currently available at www.irwindalespeedway.com or at the event box office for $10 in advance or $15 at the Speedway on the day of the event. The Speedway has named the event Family Night at the races in tribute to the Gilliland's. Children 12 under will be admitted free into the grandstands, and hot dogs, tacos, and sodas will be $1. Mr. Gilliland will be on the show in roughly 10 to 15 minutes. Until he calls in, I'd like to open up the phone lines, the discussion about this past weekend's Daytona race, as well as the problems with getting sponsorship on your machine. If anyone would like to call in, the number is area code 215-383-3681. This weekend's going to be a busy weekend of motorsports, with the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, the NASCAR Nationwide Series, and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series all competing. The Cup and Nationwide Series will be at the New Hampshire Motor Speedway. The Truck Series will be competing at the Iowa Speedway. The NHRA will also have action this weekend. But the action will be on tape delay on ESPN2 from the Norwalk, Ohio event held last weekend. It will be on the air July 12th at 6 p.m. The Tudor United Sports Car Championship and Continental Tire Series are visiting the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Ontario, Canada, for the Mobile One Sports Car Grand Prix, presented by Hawk Performance this Saturday and the 12th of July. The weekend kicks off the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, 2-hour and 30-minute race, streaming live at 1:15 p.m. Eastern on IMSA.com. Qualifying for the Tudor race will be streamed live on IMSA.com beginning at 5:20 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Saturday, July 12th. On Sunday the 13th, GT Daytona, GT Le Mans, and ProTech classes will be in action in the 2-hour and 45-minute timed event on the 2.45-mile circuit. The field takes the green flag at 2.05 p.m. and will be broadcast live on Fox Sports 1. Once again, I'd like to invite anybody to call in now if they have any questions about this past weekend or they'd like to comment about the fact that the race was rain-delayed and then rain-shortened at Daytona. Also, if they have any interest in discussing the issues of current sports car, NASCAR, and general race car drivers and getting sponsors, now would be the time to call. The phone number is 1-215-383-3681. Later this evening, the show is going to welcome Trent Owens, crew chief for the Richard Petty Motorsports number 43. Owens was lucky enough to be in victory lane when Richard Petty won his 200th race 30 years ago and was there again this week, coming full circle for him in the Daytona. For those of you who are interested, it was a very interesting race this past weekend at the Daytona International Speedway. It began with rain on Friday during qualifying. Rain continued on Saturday. And the rain got even heavier Saturday night and started again Sunday after they had thrown the red flag. This has caused a little bit of controversy around the paddock area as to why exactly NASCAR chose to throw the red flag at the time they did. But I'm sure that Trent Owens will discuss that a little bit more later in detail. Personally, I think they probably could have waited another 5-10 minutes before they decided to throw the red flag, because it didn't really seem logical at the time when they threw it. There wasn't much rain on the speedway. If anything, there were little teeny drops. And drivers at Daytona are accustomed to driving in like a fine mist, because it's always like that in January. There's always rain in July. So they should be used to the really, really light rain that we were getting at the time when they threw the red flag. But I think that in part, NASCAR acted out of abundance of caution. And it was that caution that caused them to throw the caution, and then also the red flag. At this time, I'd like to welcome Todd Gilliland to the program. Hello, and welcome to Thursday Night Thunder. Hey, how you doing? This is Adam Sinclair on Thursday Night Thunder.
Good, how are you?
This is Todd, right?
Yep.
Yeah? You anxious to race this next week against your father and your grandfather?
Yeah, it's really going to be really cool.
What are you most looking forward to?
The competition and just have fun racing against them and just savor the moment, because I don't think it's ever going to happen again. Hopefully it will, but I don't think it will. And just have fun.
Cool. What's your expectation for the race? Do you think you have what it takes to defeat the older guys?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, my dad's going to be helping me too, so hopefully we can work together and win.
That'll be good. How much experience have you had in racing so far in your fairly young life?
What was that?
How much experience have you had in racing so far? What sort of racing have you done?
Well, I've raced quarter midgets, and I've just started racing late models.
Okay. How are you doing in the late model series?
I guess pretty good. I mean, I got a win so far and two poles.
Okay. And what is your ultimate goal?
Hopefully to race Sprint Cup against my dad and make it to that level.
That'd be good. Do you think you'd be as good as some of the other young drivers who've come up recently, like Chase Elliott? Do you think you'd be able to compete with them?
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay. Who's your favorite NASCAR driver right now, aside from your dad?
Probably Kyle Busch, because he has so much talent. He's such a good driver.
If you had any question to ask Kyle Busch, what would it be? What sort of advice do you think he'd be able to give you in trying to get started? It's roughly the same age he got started in racing.
Just what decisions to make and how to keep moving up.
Okay. Is the Sprint Cup Series the only series you're interested in, or would you... Do you have any plans on trying to get into, like, a sports car at some point, or maybe IndyCar?
Not really. NASCAR is my ultimate goal.
Okay. What's your favorite racetrack?
That I've raced on?
Yeah, that you raced on, and then your favorite racetrack all together.
The one that I've raced on is Myrtle Beach Speedway. I love that racetrack, and... My dad's is, like, Talladega, just because everyone has a chance, and it's such great racing.
Okay. What do you think about the race in Daytona this past week? What was your opinion of?
Oh, it was really cool. I mean, my dad got the pole, and he was running really good. They just didn't get the end result that they wanted, but it was a really good day.
How do you think? Do you think NASCAR handled the rain delay well?
Yeah. I mean, you always got to keep the drivers safe. Because if they would have been out, went back out, and it would have been raining, and everyone would have gotten a bigger wreck, people could have got hurt, and it wouldn't have been worth it.
Okay. How long have you been going to the... How many races a year do you go to with your father's team?
Oh, what was that?
How many races a year do you go to with your dad? Do you go to... do you travel with the NASCAR team at all?
Probably like 10, about 10. Not as many as I want to, but I'm still racing on the weekends, so I'd rather race though than go to his races.
That's good. What advice would you give someone trying to get into the sport?
There's a lot more a lot more downs than ups, and you got to keep your head up through all the downs and keep moving forward.
How do you feel about the fact that Almirola won the race on the 30th anniversary of Richard Petty's victory in Daytona?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, Richard Petty was such a great driver, like complete domination of 200 wins. That's really good. And on the 30th anniversary, it's really cool.
Do you have a few minutes to answer questions from some of my guests if they decide to call in?
Yep.
Okay. If you have any questions for Todd Gilliland, please give me a call at 1-215-383-3681. Did you ever attend any of your grandfather's races when he was racing? Or were you too young?
No, I've never seen him race, so I'm super excited about that, just seeing him race.
How many races a year do you go to at Irwindale Speedway? Have you ever competed there before? Have you ever seen any cars run there in the past?
Nope, I've never been there. I've never seen anyone race there or anything.
What do you think the trick to winning there would be?
Well, probably just save your tires and be smart. Get to the end of the race.
What do you do for when you're not racing? How do you spend your free time?
Oh, working on the shop with my crew chief, Chris Lawson, and trying to learn and get better at building cars, and hopefully one day, like, I could get to that point where I could build my own car and crew chief it by myself and stuff like that.
How many people do you have working on your team?
Just Chris Lawson and my dad on the weekdays.
Did you bring in, like, a volunteer pit crew for the races?
Yeah, we have a couple more guys that come to the track with us and help out at the track, too.
Okay. How do you feel about the fact that it seems to be becoming more difficult to find a sponsor in racing? Have you ever had to deal with any of that?
Yes, I mean, that's why you have to have, like, you have to be the best all the time and you have to be a really good public speaker and talking to people, and you definitely need a sponsor, so you got to be good at that stuff too.
What's the trick to finding a good sponsor, in your opinion?
Well, you just got to talk to everyone and leave good impressions with everyone, so they talk to other people. Be like, oh yeah, Todd Gilliland, talk to him, he's a really nice kid, and then everybody else passes it on and then gets to someone, they're like, oh yeah, I want to sponsor him, and then sponsor you.
Who are your sponsors for the race this weekend?
Luke's Transmission, Wong Racing, Sims Trucking, Ibox Springs, Country Chevrolet, and AR Bodies.
What sort of chassis are you running in your car?
Marlow PRW.
Okay. And what's the horsepower?
About 600, I think.
Okay. Do you have any plans on running any NASCAR events this year, like in the Camping World Truck Series or anything like that? Or haven't you worked that far yet?
I'm not old enough to yet.
They have, what, a 16-year-old limit, don't they?
Yes.
Okay. Once again, if you'd like to call in to ask my guest any questions, the phone number is 1-215-383-3681. If you could choose one racetrack to compete at yourself at the age you're at right now, what racetrack would it be? What would be your ultimate race?
Probably the Myrtle Beach 200, I think. Because, like, all the good drivers, like, David Reagan races that. Timothy Peters raced it last year. There's just a lot of great competition at that race. And if you could win that, like, you really prove yourself. And the Snowball Derby, too.
What exactly is the Snowball Derby for my listeners who really don't have any idea? Aside from a place where you probably don't throw snowballs.
Huh. It's a race at Five Flags Speedway. I think it's 200 laps, and it's probably the biggest super late model race there is. All the great drivers race that.
What sort of a chance do you think your father has at the New Hampshire Motor Speedway this coming week?
He's really excited. I mean, they have a good chance.
Do you have any opinion on the announcement of the Race Car Teams Association that they announced on Monday? I know there haven't been many specifics yet, and it's definitely bringing up a lot of debate on Twitter and other social media sites.
I actually haven't heard anything about that. Maybe I should look into that.
Yeah, apparently it's from what I've been reading, it's more of a professional association of race teams. They're trying to consolidate their power so they're able to deal with NASCAR more efficiently.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be good, but it's kind of difficult to see how NASCAR is going to treat it, because it seems like anytime there's any sort of talk of a trade association or union of some kind, NASCAR kind of balks at that.
Yeah, because NASCAR doesn't want to get teamed up on,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they want to hold all the cards. It's one of those sort of things, if it's either our way or the highway type thing.
Right.
Be my last call. Anybody who has any questions for Todd Gilliland, please call at 1-215-383-3681. Which one of your father's sponsors has been your favorite one in the past couple of years? I know he's had a ton of different sponsors.
Probably Love's Travel Stops, because we go to Love's all the time, and they're really, I really like them the best, the gas station, out of all of them.
Yeah, I think they donate a lot of money to charity. I know that.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff for charity.
They definitely wanted to support the team this past weekend. They had all the promotional things, and it really, the car really looked good too.
Oh, yeah, I love that paint scheme, the camo, support the troops and everything by 4th of July. It was really awesome.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for calling in, and I wish you lots of luck in the future, and hope you have a chance to win next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for having me.
Yep, thank you very much. Once again, I'd like to thank Todd Gilliland for coming on the show. That was very informative. Todd's a up-and-coming race car driver. He will definitely be someone to watch in the future. Now I'd like to open it up if anybody would like to call in and ask any questions about the Daytona race, possibly have a discussion about the problems with finding sponsors. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-215-383-3681. Coming up shortly, Trent Owens from the Richard Petty Motorsports team will be calling in. I'm sure that he'll have lots of stuff to discuss. He had a great weekend at Daytona. The weather definitely was on their side, and it wasn't on the side of others. But it's always better to be lucky than good, and I think that Eric Almirola and his team had both a great car and lots of good luck in this past weekend. Last week, we were lucky enough to have James Vance on the show. Vance will be competing in two different races this weekend at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Ontario. It'll be both in the SECA event as well as the Tudor United Sports Car Championship event. Not the Tudor United Sports Car Championship event. He'll be in the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge event. I'd like to ask all my listeners how they feel about the balance performance issue that has been faced by IMSA recently. Do they think that they'll ever be able to balance performance between the Daytona prototypes and the P2 cars? If they have an opinion, please call in 1-215-383-3681. For any of you who are involved in the environmental movement who feel that that racing is just a waste of gasoline and equipment, you're in luck because the Formula E Series is now testing in Donington Park in Great Britain. Today, at the test in Donington Park, racer Sebastian Buemi of the Renault, in the E-Dams Renault, set the fastest time of preseason testing with a lap of 1 minute 31.83 seconds to finish 2/10 clear of the top of the timesheets for the second day. The 25-year-old Swiss resident, who has now topped 3 of the 4 preseason tests, beat the previous time set by Audi Sport AVT driver Lucas Degrassi. With few reliability problems, all 10 teams racked up the mileage with a combined total of 840 laps today. Lucas Degrassi initially lowered the benchmark, clocking at 1 minute 31.282 seconds in the morning session. The driver from Brazil, who went quickest on day two, has looked strong throughout the testing so far this year. Ex-Formula 1 and GP2 driver Jerome D'Ambrosio ended the day for China Racing, while Scott Speed, testing for Andretti Autosport, ended his day in fourth position. Britain's Sam Bird, who headed up testing duties for Virgin Racing, finished fifth, with teammate James Aguasari 7 places back in 12th position. Audi Sport ABT driver Daniel Abt put in a strong performance in sixth, ahead of Nicholas Prost in the E-Dams Renault. Despite a brief visit to the gravel trap in the morning, Jarno Trulli produced his quickest time of the test so far, finishing 9th overall. Nick Heidfeld, who took over from his Venturi teammate Stefan Sarrazin, matched 78 laps on his way to 8th in the standings. Andretti Autosport's Frank Montagny started the day with a blistering pace, clocking his fastest time of the test so far at 1 minute 32.958 seconds, eventually improved by a further 4/10 to complete the day just outside the top 10. While Argentina's Juan Manuel Lopez spent the day behind the wheel of the China Racing car and finished in a respectable 15th position. The fifth and final test will take place August 19th, with free access to fans via the Donington Park website. So any of you who are planning a visit to Europe, or more specifically to Great Britain, perhaps you'll like to make a stop on August 19th in Donington Park to watch the latest and greatest sports cars ever designed, and possibly the future of racing. Again, if you'd like to discuss the race in Daytona this past weekend, or the problems that drivers have with gathering sponsorship in today's economy, please call in. The area code is 215, phone number 383-3681. This weekend, the Geico Motorcycle Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship, sanctioned by the AMA Pro Racing, visits Buds Creek National at Buds Creek MX Park in Mechanicsville, Maryland, on July 12th. The Buds Creek facility in southern Maryland is one of the most diverse venues in the country, featuring world-class motocross track, dirt oval, and drag strip, all on the same property. The Buds Creek MX track is known for its iconic mix of sand and clay, multiple elevation changes, and a wide range of obstacles. This year marks the 25th running of the Buds Creek National. In 2007, Buds Creek Motocross Park was the host venue for the Motocross of Nations. This year, as round 7 of the Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship, it marks the latest that the Buds Creek National has been on the schedule since 2009, when it served as round 10 in August. The event is typically held in mid-June. Through the first six rounds, Red Bull KTM's Ken Rosen carries an average finish of 1.58 and the 450 class points lead. His teammate Ryan Dungey carries a 2.5 finishing average and is second place in the standings. Eight different riders, all who hail from the state of Maryland, will line up between the 450 class and 250 class for what they consider to be the home race on the circuit. As two-time Buds Creek overall winners, Ryan Dungey in the 450 class and Blake Badgett in the 250 class will each look to secure his third consecutive win in Maryland. In the 450 class, the first race held at Buds Creek was May 22, 1994, and ended up with a victory by Mike LaRocca on a Kawasaki. This will be the 21st time that the gate will drop at Buds Creek for the 450 class. The greatest of all time, Ricky Carmichael, held the perfect record at Buds Creek. In his 8 starts, he posted 8 overall wins, winning 13 of 16 motos. Chad Reed is the only international driver to ever win a 450 class overall at Buds Creek. Driver Ryan Dungey went 1-1 in the 450 class in 2012, keeping the KTM brand its first win at Buds Creek. Dungey then went on to capture the 2013 Buds Creek victory with a 2-1 moto score. Moving away from motocross, we'd like to welcome Trent Owens of the Richard Petty Motorsports team, number 43 crew chief, who just celebrated victory lane with his driver Eric Almirola at the Daytona race, the Coke Zero 400, held for the first time this year on Sunday after a rain delay on Saturday. Hello, Mr. Owens. You're on the air, and thank you for coming on.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Just up here in New Hampshire.
You getting ready for a big race weekend this week? How do you think the team's going to do this weekend?
Be hard to duplicate last weekend, but yeah, we're getting ready for a big weekend.
And hopefully you can win again, but I think hopefully for the fans there, the weather's a lot better in New Hampshire than it was in Daytona this past week.
Yeah, we had to dodge rain pretty regular. Daytona through qualifying, practice, the race. It was weather down there all 3 days. So everything looks good up here, though. I think the low 80s for a high is actually nice change of pace for us here of late.
Awesome. How did you celebrate Amarillo's first win, the first win for the number 43 in several years?
Well, we flew home after we got done with all the media stuff and celebration at the racetrack, and kind of the crew and all of us, we kind of got together at Eric's house, just hung out till, I don't know, 1 a.m. or so, and did the typical celebration. But, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday we had a tire test in Richmond, so we were back at it again. Back at the track on Tuesdays and Wednesday, but I can definitely tell you that it was a big celebration, a long time coming, and you know, I think we're hungry to get some more.
How did it compare to the Victory Lane celebration you were at when Richard Petty won his 200th race 30 years ago?
It was probably very similar, you know, to be 30 years apart. And I was fortunate to be there. I was 9 years old. We're the 200th win, so it's probably hard for me to remember everything. But I know that the 200th win, what a achievement that was to my uncle personally, and that was a really big deal, especially with the president being there and all the things that went along with that. But, you know, I guess in 15 years, the 43 hadn't been to Victory Lane, so there was a lot of the same excitement from the family side in that same way of just to know that they've crawled their way back and had a shot to go to Victory Lane again, and we have it there again. So it was just really cool, a lot of similarities.
Awesome. How do you feel the track officials handled the rain delay? Do you think that anything could have been done differently?
You know, I don't, because yeah, I'm probably biased a little bit, yeah, but, you know, we were watching the radar, and, you know, they had a shower that kind of drenched the backstretch, and we really wasn't anticipating a rain out. We were talking about strategies once we got going back green, and, you know, and then all of a sudden there just started being storms just building, popping up on the radar just out of nowhere. So, you know, with all that unusualness that you have in Florida, once the racetrack was completely covered in rain, which it rained hard for quite a bit and drenched the whole racetrack, we were looking at least 2.5 hours of drying the track if it quit raining, and it rained through our whole celebration. So, I think they made the right call, especially since, you know, we were under a rain delay of a whole day anyways. So it looked like it was going to go at least to 8 or 10 o'clock at night if they had a chance at all. So I think they did. They were consistent with the past races I've seen. Let me just say that. Now, if I was in 30th position, I might would have said I'd wait around a little longer. But us leading, obviously, I was happy about it. But it was pretty consistent with what I've seen over the years.
How'd you spend Saturday?
Saturday? We were at the racetrack all day, and it rained it out. And then we got some last-minute hotels over near Orlando. Got there about 11:30 that night, spent the night, and drove back over the track and raced on Sunday morning. So there wasn't a lot of time to do anything outside of trying to find hotels and then trying to get back to the track the next morning.
And how difficult was it to find hotels? Well, I was actually up there, and it looked like all the vacancy signs that we'd seen driving in Saturday morning were gone when we drove back Sunday morning.
Yeah, you know, it's hard when we have to book, as many people as we travel, we have to book a lot of rooms. So I think we went to the Altamont Springs area. It was the first place we could book that many rooms. So our travel girl did a real good job. I know some of the other teams even flew back to Charlotte and then flew back down the next morning, so that had to be really tough. But luckily we were able to find rooms, no problem.
How do you feel about the Daytona Rising project? Do you think that'll help attendance at the facility?
You know, it's hard to say. From the live audience thing, you know, social media is so big now, and I'm not sure how you track all that stuff. But I'm excited about the Daytona Risings, and you know, just the magnitude of that structure. Just seeing it when we were down there just now. It's pretty amazing that what they're putting into the speedway, and I think it's going to draw more attendance and more traction. I don't see how it couldn't help. But it's always good to see that our sanctioned body is putting that money back into the tracks and keeping everything modern and upgraded. And that's really what's going to take us years on down the road.
Yeah, if you were in charge of NASCAR, how would you try and fill up the grandstands there? Because I know that they, even on Saturday when people were expecting to have a race at night, it wasn't exactly as full as it had been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, that's not my position by any means. You know, I don't know the answers to all that. Like I said, I think it's just hard to track.
Yeah.
You know, 10 or 15 years ago, you know, you pretty much had to come to the race. You wanted to see what was going on. Today, you've got Twitter, you've got Facebook, you've got whatever you want on your phone to keep up with, whatever you need to keep up with without being there. You know, so I don't think you necessarily lost the fan base just because you don't see people in the stands. I don't think that's a good assessment, in my opinion,
okay.
You know, with everything you have right now.
Okay. How do you plan on duplicating your success at Daytona? What's your grand plan for the rest of the season?
Well, hopefully in a few weeks, you know, we'll see how many different winners they have, and we hopefully get locked into this chase format. And, you know, that's really going to be our focus is once we do get locked in from being a winner, you know, we're just going to focus on those tracks and what we can do to better prepare ourselves when the chase format starts. You know, we need to spend the next probably 3 or 4 weeks just trying to maximize our points position, gain as many points as we can. Don't try to take any risk that's going to give us 30th and 40th place finishes. That's what we need to eliminate the next 3 or 4 weeks so we can start testing some items for the chase.
Do you think you'll be able to keep your position in the chase with just the one win, or are you going to really try and win at least one more race before the end of the regular season?
Well, like I said, I think we can sit on our one win for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Now, if they have 4 different winners, you know, in the next 4 weeks from what we've already had, then that's going to throw some challenges. We probably need to win another race or be the best we can be in points, because once you get, you know, once the 16's figured out, if there's more than 16 different winners, it goes by points. So right now we're ahead of one winner right now in the points, and we need to just try to gain as many points as we can. It's probably our objective right now.
Cool. What's your opinion of the issues that certain teams are having finding sponsorship now? I know that that Richard Petty Motorsports doesn't necessarily have that issue, especially with the win this past week. But in the past, they've had a revolving door of sponsorship, it seems. And how would you characterize that problem?
You know, it's again. I'm on the competition side, not the business side. So, you know, it's hard for me to get involved in those conversations. But you know, I think it's just in line with the times right now. I don't think you go to any sport or, you know, entertainment type thing that isn't having trouble getting sponsored. It's not just racing.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that, you know, every team is in the same boat on that. I don't think it's just because one team's better or another team's worse. I think it's just there's only so much money out there right now in marketing, period, whether it's racing, basketball, football. You know, you can go, list can go on. I think everybody's fighting the same issues. So I think it's just the times we're in right now. I don't think it's just any one thing to blame. I actually think the quality of the racing right now is pretty good. I think the fields are so competitive, meaning there's so many good race car teams that, you know, I know people complain about the not so much passing this or that, but, you know, if you study the racing and you study the practice and you see how close in speed and lap time these cars are running, you'd be amazed, you know, how competitive our series is right now.
How do you like the new Generation 6 car as opposed to the car of tomorrow?
Well, one, I think it looks really good. I think it's a very attractive race car. I enjoy working on it. I think we're going to still need to evolve it a little bit better aerodynamically to maybe find a different racing-type package. But I think the car itself is very, very attractive to the naked eye. It's a very solid race car, safe race car. So from that side of things, I really enjoy working on it.
Would you be able to take any questions from any of the guests if they choose to call in?
Yes.
Okay. If anyone would like to call in for my guest, Trent Owens, the number is 1-215-383-3681. Do you follow sports car racing at all with the new Tudor series?
I don't follow it. I probably don't follow enough to know all the personalities, but I do enjoy. I like road racing. I wish our schedule had more road racing on it. I will tell you that.
Yeah. With the recent acquisition of Road Atlanta, do you think that the NASCAR will ever end up racing there?
I don't know. You know, I did the nationwide. I actually won two nationwide races at Road America, and that's, gosh, what a great event that was. I would like to see the Cup Series venture out and do some of those Road Atlanta, Road America. I really enjoy road racing. I think fans can relate to road racing. I think there needs to be a little more mix-up of that. So I don't know. You never know down the road what might happen, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Do you think the road race should be in the Chase?
I do. I certainly do. I think that you ought to get a flavor of all the races that you have on the schedule. I think should be in the Chase, yes.
Would you? How do you feel about the series ending in Homestead? I know there's been discussion in the past about possibly moving it to Las Vegas.
I think Homestead is the perfect track to end the race season. The weather's nice. The facility's perfect. I think Homestead is a perfect location to end the season when you're talking about mid to late November. I know you can have several challenges in a lot of other places with weather versus what we see in Miami.
What's your favorite racetrack that the series competes at?
I'd say my favorite would be Charlotte, and then Homestead would be a close second. But I do enjoy majority of the mile and a half tracks.
What's your least favorite track then?
Richmond. Richmond's probably my least favorite track. it's given me a fit for years.
I know you're the crew chief for Almirola, but who's your favorite race car driver in NASCAR?
You know, I probably, last year I was Kyle Larson's crew chief for the entire season and nationwide. And, much like my relationship with Eric, I got along really good with him. And I'd like to see him do really well, in which he is. And so I'd probably say that I pull, outside of our race team, I'd probably pull for him second.
Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show and wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, that was Trent Owens, crew chief for the Richard Pay Motorsports, number 43. He's had a great year so far. He had an awesome car, competed up in the front last weekend, and the raindrops fell at just the perfect time for he and his team to take the checkered flag and go to victory lane. Well, we've got less than 10 minutes left of the show, so if you'd like to call in, discuss sponsorship issues, or any of your opinion about pretty much anything motorsports, please give me a call. The number is 215-383-3681. A few minutes ago, I mentioned the SCCA Pro Racing event at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Earlier today, they had practice there, and Ara Malkashian, sorry if I mispronounced that name, of Houston, Texas, set the fastest time during practice. He set his time of 1 minute, 35.575 seconds. An average speed of 92.622 miles per hour at the 10-turn, 2.459-mile circuit. He drives the number 11 Alara Racing MX-5. And he credited his fastest lap to the draft he got off of Kenton Coke of Glendora, California. Coke, in the number 12 Alara Racing, Mazda's Motorsports, BF Goodrich Tires MX-5, stopped the clock with the best lap of 1 minute 35.626 seconds, an average speed of 92.573 miles per hour. Time was good enough to place him in second during the session, and he's confident with his car, but not underestimating his competition. Once again, I'd like to thank my guests, Mr. Todd Gilliland and Mr. Trent Owens, for taking the time to call in this evening. And until next week, I'd like to wish all of you a great night and fast cars.